You're listening to The Jasmine Star Show, a conversational business podcast where I give you practical strategies and modern marketing tips to help you grow your business. If you're a small business owner, you know, chasing big goals, well, you're in great company with other entrepreneurs that you're going to hear from today. These five brilliant souls are some of the lucky winners that we had from a recent podcast review contest. So they were invited to a private Zoom call with me to get their biggest burning business questions answered. And like always, I kept it real with these entrepreneurs, and they are all in different industries. So what you're about to hear is a mix of real talk, step-by-step advice, and, you know, a loving kick in the pants. Like always, even if the questions you hear are from business owners who do not do what you do, there is a high chance and a very strong likelihood that the question they're asking can pertain to your business. So come with an open mind, be ready to receive, and let's listen in.
Hi, Jasmine. My name is Stephanie Lenzian, and I am a hairstylist for over 19 years and the CEO and founder of Napur Naturals, which is a brand of all-natural talc-free powders that treat and soothe all skin types.
Okay, so here's the thing. People who listen to the podcast don't know we also record on video just to kind of create a personal connection. And you're like, I've been a stylist 19 years. And I was just like, were you like in the womb doing hair? Because you look like you're 20. You look amazing. Whatever years in your hair. Man, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm happy you're here. How can I be of service?
So my question is, what advice do you have for a small business owner launching a product that is first in the category? And how would I go up against the big dogs of skincare leading the way?
So the question is, like, how do I boil the ocean, basically?
Yeah. Without them taking me down, right?
So how about we reframe this from being adversarial, taking me down, they're going to come after me. I actually think it's always good to have a bit of competition, right? You know, he's like, but when you frame it as they could take me down, you're already going into it on the assumption that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So they could just as much, and this is my prayer for you, they could just as much acquire what it is you do. And so it changed from adversarial to somebody who could actually invest in what it is you do. But far, far before you're even a blip on their radar, your only objective should never be who else is in the game, ever. Push all of that out for now. And say, who needs what I have to sell? So then you focus in on just that person. So at this point, I know it's still rather new. Do you know who you want to sell to or who you want buying your product?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Definitely. So talk to me about this person. Just give me a couple sentences so I can start getting an idea.
She is in her 30s. She is the decision maker for her household, for herself, for her children, for her parents, grandparents. She is buying these products to solve a problem.
And what's that problem?
In her skin.
What's the problem with the skin that you're trying to solve?
Dry skin, irritation, eczema, psoriasis. And I'm treating all of that with a powder instead of a lotion and a cream. Lotions and creams attract bacteria. They burn, they leave residue. A powder is very soothing to the skin, doesn't leave any residue, doesn't attract bacteria, and it can heal and treat the skin.
Okay. So in that 20-second explanation and creating differences and the stark reality of what a lotion does, I heard at minimum 15 pieces of content and like 15 pieces of content in different ways. You could literally say the same thing on a reel, on a photo post, on a story. You can go live, like all of the, and you're not changing, you're saying the same thing. Marketing is saying the same message a slightly different way for a person who needs to hear it. So this is my response. What I'm about to say right now is not just for you. It's for anybody listening, is that you're not in the powder game and you're not even in the skincare game. You, as a small business owner, and every small business owner is in the content creation game, period. And I know that I annoy and I grate, and some people can't stand when I say that, but that is the reality of 2022 and beyond, is that anybody who is starting a business is not in the business of t-shirts or jewelry or photography. You're in the game of creating content. And the person who creates the most content in the most palpable way, I did not say fancy, I did not say produced, I didn't say Emmy award winning or Confil Festival award winning. It's content. When you become the vocal person, voice, face, explaining why powder is best, and then explaining why your powder is easy to get, available, affordable, then all of a sudden you play a different game. But this is where a lot of people get stuck. We would, and I'm putting myself in that category, would rather do R&D and get investments and do the packaging and do the branding. And yes, those things are important, but right. You can have all of that. But if you don't have the content to back it up, there's nobody going to be talking about what it is that you do. And this is so annoying for so many business owners, because they're like, I got into the powder game. I got into the hair game. I got into the dog walking game. I got into the t-shirt game to do this one thing. And I'm here to tell you, that was what our grandparents had the luxury of doing. We don't have the luxury to do that anymore. So if you're asking me, how do I build a business that would then be acquirable, not overtaken? How do I build a business that is acquirable? It's content. It's content. It's content. So that when, because it's not a matter of if, it's when, these bigger companies who do the lotion see, somebody hit something here, and they create their own powder. Then you say, bring it on. I've already done the work to be the professional, to be the voice maker, and to be the tastemaker as to why this product is better and why I have brand recognition. So all of that to say is, are you willing to become a content creator on behalf of your product?
Yes, and I'm trying, but the biggest thing is that's exactly what you said. My fear is that somebody will see what I'm doing and do it better, or do it quicker, or be more established, or more well-funded.
They will.
Yeah.
They will.
And so it prevents me from putting it out there, but then how, if I don't put it out there, nobody's going to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have two options. You have one option.
Right.
And the goal here in this one option is that when they launch that product, your core base will still buy from you. Because at the end of the day, I want you to have $100 million company. I do. But do you need $100 million company at this point in time?
No.
Maybe not. So what if you were to hit the ground running and so hard and say, I am going to live and die by this sword, and you create and you create, create, and you create the pathway for these other big companies to come up right behind you to say, look what she's doing, look at her messaging, we're going to do it and make it better. That will happen. Heck, it's happening now with Social Curator, and we tiny, but it's happening. So if I know that that then is the case, what I need to focus on are the people that I am serving and make them evangelists. They are going to be the people. I can't tell you how many times people on social media have called out another company and be like, you know what? That's exactly what Social Curator is doing, and it's not a good look. Your customers are going to say, yeah, often imitated, never duplicated. I'm still going with this powder because I trust the person who created it. And at the end of the day, how amazing for another big company to do something massive that brings overall awareness to your product or service in a way that you just simply couldn't do by budget, all these other things. And so now people are saying powders are good. And then once they do that, because they will, you come out and then you start creating differentiating factors from the get-go. You source only organic goods. You source just for America. Whatever the case may be, you start creating differentials between their product and yours. But them being in the market and them putting money into the powder market to educate an audience could possibly do your business good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I never thought about that way. I did. We are eco-friendly. We are all natural, organic, vegan, cruelty-free, hypoallergenic. I wanted to knock it out of the gate so that if they did come, what were they going to do? Mm-hmm. And then it's a personal story, what my daughter went through, why I created the brand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now, not just for you, but anybody else who's listening, the question becomes, am I going to keep that my focus and not give up after 2 months? After 8 months, after 2 years of slogging through it? Because anybody who gets into business and says, okay, I'm going to do content in like 8 months, oh, we're going to see it work. I'm like, honey, good luck in 2 years. Good luck in 10 years. And the question becomes, are you willing to create content for your business for 10 years? And in the process of the 10 years, you're doing what you freaking want to do. And it's not easy. And there are days that it's hard. But when you choose your heart, it's either you choose your heart to do something you really love, or you choose your heart to do something else that you don't really love. We're all in the business of doing hard things. And so if we have the luxury to choose the hard thing we want to do, then God bless us. What a friggin' luxury. I always think to myself that if the end of 10 years, social curator is nothing but what it is today. We have zero growth. Well, then for 10 years, I had an adventure. I worked with amazing people. I met amazing people. And for a decade, I was able to make an impact in a small group of people's lives. Am I happy then? And I say, yes. Great. So anything beyond that, it's gravy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely okay. Right.
How can people find you, your amazing powder, all it is that you do, and your amazing hair? Where do we find you on Instagram?
So my hair is hair by Stephanie _LNDZ, and Naprim Naturals, the brand, is Naprim _Naturals_.
I love that. I am looking forward to your success, and I'm looking forward to all of your content. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Julianne, and I am in Auckland, New Zealand. So it's bright and early. So for me, I have a question, and my question is, how can I speak with my ideal client on social media when she's 20 years younger than me?
Okay. So a bit of clarity, and this has no impact on my answer, but clarity for me is what do you sell?
So I am a conversation coach. I'm wanting to train people to become a confident communicator. And I have a one-liner that I've prepared. For most people, when our voice and feelings are ignored, we get frustrated and upset, which affects our relationships. Learn to speak your truth and clarify the values that drive your beliefs and behaviors. When you truly know what's important to you, your conversations will flow with integrity.
Okay, so I just like you. I like you a lot. I think that what you do is very, very, very important. I think what we all do is important, but there's something profound here that you're trying to speak to a woman who's 20 years younger at a different place in her life than she is in yours. And you're trying to give her the tools to empower her to make space in the world. Like, I love this. Like, I truly do. The irony is not lost on me that you're a communication specialist and you're asking me how to I just want to put that out there. Okay. I just want to put that out there that it's beautiful irony that we must learn the thing we want to teach. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so strongly that somebody once asked me, Jasmine, are you into it? And I'm like, no. But what's coming up strongly for me is this has nothing to do with business. And this has everything to do with the narrative that you're choosing to believe. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know your age, nor will I ask, and you don't know my age. There's a good chance that while I might not be 20 years younger, I'm younger. And there's a good chance that our podcast producer, Christy, is definitely younger than me. There's a really strong chance that maybe she's 20 years younger. I haven't experienced anything thus far of this recording that would ever lead me to believe that I would be uncomfortable getting advice from you, having a conversation with you, or learning anything from you. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. I see your demeanor, I see your presence, and I see somebody who appears to me, knowing you 30 seconds, somebody who's classically trained, and you, for me, solicit confidence, you solicit experience, and I don't know anything about you. I'm just being very honest. And so this is the impression that I'm immediately getting, and I have to believe that other people on social media, when they see your stories, or if you were to use your phone sitting in this exact situation right now, and you were simply to share your mission statement, and you tell me three things that I could do today to help hone my message, I would watch it. I would feel like I am being communicated with. So this isn't like, oh, let's try this business strategy hack. This is simply me saying, okay, Julianne, it's time for you to tell yourself a different story. And it's time for you to believe that what you have to say matters, not to women who are older than you and not to women who are younger than you. This matters for women, period. And so if you know that what you do matters, period, then your only objective is to speak. Will you attract women who are older and younger than 20 years difference between who you are, where you are right now? Yes. But your objective is to hone your marketing message to speak to that person, and you will attract others. But when you speak so clearly to that person, she will actually come out and manifest herself right in front of you and say, it's working. And it's working because your message is the same regardless of age, but the cultural references that you're making, they appeal to her. The movies you think she might be watching, they appeal to her. Does she watch reality television? Make a reference to that. And if you're like, I don't know what she does, well, great. Next iteration is to find people who are of the age of your dream client. And once you find people the age of your dream client, you're going to ask them the most basic questions that they, of course, would easily answer. What do you watch? Where do you like to shop? What music do you like to listen to? And then you go back and you're like, well, I've never heard of Drake. And so you go on YouTube and you're like, oh yeah, my ideal client doesn't listen to Drake, right? But you don't know until you're searching and you're in the game. And then all of a sudden, and I know it seems like esoteric and I know it seems very like woo-woo and high level, but honestly, when you start getting cultural references and movies, and when you can make a cultural reference to a movie or a song that she listened to when she was 8 years old, she trusts you. She feels she's understood. She feels like you could speak to her pressure point at where she is in her life. So all of that to say that you could literally teach anybody how to become a confident communicator. Just knowing you for 30 seconds, I know that in my gut. But who you want to work with, you're going to start putting out content that attracts to her, that speaks to her, and makes her feel known, seen, and understood. This is nothing to do with business advice and everything to simply shift the narrative and give you a little bit of homework to find out, drill down exactly what it is she does so that you can make those references so she feels like she's known by you.
That's fabulous. It was the cultural references. It's perfect. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. How can people find you and all of your beautiful communication skills and tips online?
So I am on Instagram at School of Conversation.
Cute.
And yeah, and you know, it's about tough conversations made easy. So
is that in your Instagram bio? Like,
it is.
Not, okay, girl, see, that's great. Showing up social curator. You are making this social curator proud, this founder proud. Atta girl.
I managed to get the .com for that as well. So I'm wanting to have a podcast, you know, in the next couple of months, starting to talk about tough conversations made easy.
Okay. So. Okay. Look at you. I'm going to make you regret you just saying that. So we're recording this and we're not going to talk about the date that we're currently recording this, nor are we going to talk about the date at which you will launch, because I want us to have I'm throwing this at you. How many months do you think until your podcast is out into the world?
I think 3.
I felt 3. So 3 months from now,
yeah.
I'm going to hold you accountable. So you're going to send me a DM. And guess what? The podcast is not going to be perfect. It's going to feel awkward, and it's going to take a lot more time than you expect, and you're going to feel like it's a lot more complicated. But once you build the system's done. Then all you have to do is record.
Yeah.
So in 3 months, I want you sending me a direct message and telling me that you did it.
Okay, great. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thanks.
My name is Stephanie Deal. I am a children's book author. I have a blog and a podcast. And my mission is to help moms connect with their children. I'm a stay-at-home working mom. So I'm always with my kids, but it's the quality time that I want to help moms have with their children, especially as a children's book author. But I feel like Julianne in my question is, my mission is to help moms be more present at home. But my question for you is, how do you stop working, like even in your mind, when you want to be present with your family? Like full Enneagram 3, want to work all the time, have all these ideas popping off all the time, and I just want to turn it off sometimes.
And so you're asking me what my advice is for that, or you're asking me how I do it?
How do you do it? Is there like a way, a system, a routine, or like, do you just throw all your electronics somewhere? You know,
like, how cool. God, you answered your own question.
Okay.
It became so clear for me. I am talking about crystal clear. And just because it's very crystal clear for me, does not mean that it's simple. In fact, it's quite the opposite. What I'm going to ask you to do is to document openly your journey around building a system for presence.
Okay.
You are going to be an authority in building and teaching moms how to be present. And how they're going to invest in you is by buying your books.
Got it.
Because you can only talk about a book for so long without people being, okay, get it. Stephanie wants another book. Okay, cool. But when you are talking about the difficulties of what you want to balance, and for you, it's X, Y, and Z, and you really want to be present with your kids, you talk about the things that you're trying, the methodologies that you're using. And then at the end of the month, you're like, we did a roundup. The hiding electronics worked for about 5 minutes, didn't really work for me. What really worked for me was taking time to build a tent. When I had an action with the kids, like, I don't know what it is, but to me, you're going to build so much trust with other moms who are watching you build the journey and build the system that will ultimately help them. And so what you're doing is you're using the most valuable thing that you have, your time, to teach yourself something that you will later teach somebody else. And when and if you do not give up, a decade from now, when your kids are perhaps on their way to high school or on their way to college, if that's where they get, you're saying, this is where it was documented. And then you bring up a blog post, you bring up a social media post, and you talk about how you had a full-on meltdown because you wanted to be present, and one of your kids threw the phone in the toilet. And you're going to go back and you're going to say, these were the moments that brought me here. I know exactly what you're going through. All you're doing now is you are building the history book to point back and say, I'm the authority to teach you how to be present. So to me, I want your content to teach, to be open about your journey, about finding ways to how to be present as a mom. And every so often, you're going to talk about your books as well. On the back end, how I do it is very clear distinctions of when I am a mom and when I am a founder. Okay. And it is very hard. It is very, very, very hard because the narratives that easily come up with is if I see my husband take my daughter out to the park, I should be taking her to the park.
Yes.
Yesterday, my husband and I had a very long day. We had so many things to do. We brought in extra support. And our very, very, very sweet babysitter, who I adore, my daughter adores, and she's a good human. She was sending us photos and videos of her at the library, her at a sing-along. And half of my heart just was elated because my daughter was getting stimulated. And the other half of my heart said, I'm not at the library with her. Mm-hmm. The thing I have to tell myself is I made this decision. I made a decision to be a full-time working mom. I am not a full-time mom who works. That difference of what I'm leading into is allowing me to defend my decision. And the minute I want to change that decision, I can. But never forget, this is what I chose. I chose to be a working mom, not a mom who works. My priority is to work a full-time day. Now, that's not to say that just a couple days ago, I was in a group coaching session and my daughter came on screen because of her current living situation. She is in my space all the time. And I had the distinct decision to say, no, no, mommy's working, go over there. But I worry that that would teach her what it means as a woman and as a leader and as a business owner, that things are separate. I hope, my goal is to teach her that they can be combined, that what our mothers and what our grandmothers had to hide and push out, we can say, this is who I am. Watch me do what I do. Watch me not skip a beat when it comes to this coaching while my daughter is sitting on my lap, unfurling 100 feet of dental floss. But she's quiet. She's quiet and she's there and I'm just not missing a beat. I can beat myself up for it and say, oh, there's people who are watching. They think it's unprofessional. You want to know what? I heard the opposite. People said, thank you for not pushing your daughter off this screen because it shows us and it gave us the permission to step into that too. So the reason I'm sharing this story with you is to give you the courage for you to create a pathway for other moms to admit, I want presence. I don't know how to find it.
Right.
So my mornings are hers. I wake up very early in the morning. I get work done when it's completely silent. And then we do the morning routine together, the potty, the breakfast, the changing, the books. And then when 8 o'clock hits, I'm working. This is what I do and this is my priority. And then around 4:30, I stop working and we go on a walk and we do dinner. And there are plenty of times that I have to put my daughter down. Not I have to, I get to.
Yeah.
Put my daughter down and finish what I need to do for the rest of the workday. I don't want to do that. I wake up very early to preclude me, but there are some days that I do work late. So that's how it is right now. It won't always be the case. But in order for me to be a full-time founder and give the business the dedication that it needs, I need to wake up early and perhaps work late some nights. But when I'm present with my daughter, I am trying my darn best to be like, it's not phone time. It's walk, it's dinner, it's dance, it's books time. And then I just don't regret it.
Right. Thank you.
I look forward to your journey. How can people follow along and see what you do and the books that you create and the stories that you tell?
I am StephanieDiehl.com. Diehl is D-I-E-H-L. And on Instagram, that's my main thing, is StephanieDiehl_.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Alejandra Pereira. I am a branding and three generations photographer based in Albany, New York. I'm on a mission to help mompreneurs serve and reach their ICA with confidence and strategy, and help three generational families, specifically a daughter, a mom, and a granddaughter trio, connect and create heirlooms that document their special bond and family legacy.
That's beautiful. So what do you sell?
An experience.
Okay. So you're a photographer?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Let's start with your question and then I'll ask a follow-up
question. Okay. My question is, can an ICA merge two different niches to work under the same business, or must you create two different businesses?
Okay, so this is the clarifying question I wanted to ask on the front end. And just so that everybody knows, I don't know the questions before I hear them for the first time. I like to be in my most authentic self and think, and I don't want to come in and be like, this is the plan. No, no, no. I want to come up what comes up for me naturally. So what I hear is the terminology that we're using is ICA. So most people refer to that as ideal client avatar. Social curator referred to as an ideal client profile. Whatever it is we're talking about, we want to know exactly who we're talking to. So Alexandra said, mother, daughter, grandmother, creating heirlooms, which is why I think I went back to the question to ask, what are you selling? Like, are you trying to attract the grandma to book a photography session? Are you trying to attract the daughter to book a photography session? So when you say, I have two ideal clients, are you selling the same thing to both of them, or are there differences?
No. So my ICA, her name is Willow Owens, and she would be the mother inside of the three generations. And she has children, and she wants to, she has a bomb career as a curator at the Smithsonian in DC. But she also wants to start from scratch, and she wants to open up her own business. But she also has three generational family members, and she feels guilty being apart from them. And she wants to spend time with them and also her family, because she spends so much time at work dedicating herself to that, that she needs time for herself.
So what do you sell that Willow wants?
I do two things. I do, right now I'm in the middle of a mastermind, which helps women that are opening up a business to create confidence and have the business structure, which is like, what is your why? What is your ICA? Perfect. Stuff like that. Perfect. And then the three generational aspect, it's a whole experience where it's not your average photo shoot. You come in with your two other women and you play a game first that helps you connect. There's okay, strong questions that are asked.
I got you. Okay. I was just like, I'm about to need a map to figure out where we're going with this. Girl, I'm talking to you and I am confused. It took me a solid 3 minutes to figure out, wait, what do you sell? Wait, what do you do? Wait, who are you talking to? And if I'm this confused, and I think I'm a pretty sharp cookie when it comes to business, I can't imagine how people are feeling. So I'm going to repeat back what I think I just distilled. Then we could be on the same page. I believe you have a photography business who's targeting a mother who really wants to create an experience with her mother and her daughter. So you are selling photography collections and an experience to document this moment in time for them. Do I hear that correctly?
Yes.
And then you have a different business empowering a different, well, it could be Willow. What I guess you're asking is like, can Willow be in my mastermind and book me for photo sessions? I think, but hold on, let me go back to figure out who this curator at the Smithsonian is a person who really loves her career, and she's a bad A, right? She's a baddie and she wants to go and create her own business. She has the wherewithal, she has the brains, but she's just not exactly quite sure where to start or where to begin. Okay. The question then becomes, can Willow be a part of your mastermind and get a photo shoot? And the answer is yes. I just happen to feel it's unlikely. And what the messaging and the crossover of both of them is super confusing for me. And so if it's super confusing for me, I'm going to have a guess that it's going to be super confusing for your audience. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, can you repeat your question like I'm five? Now that I understand both arms of your business.
Okay. I want to focus on branding in quarter one with my let me just ask the question. Okay. Can my ICA merge two different niches to work under the same business, or must you create two different businesses?
Okay. So now that we've gone through that, what do you think my answer is?
Yeah, there's two different businesses.
Two different businesses. And the beauty is that Willow could be a part of your mastermind, and she could book you for a photo session. So even if Willow stays at the top of your mind, that's cool. But you need two separate arms to speak to Willow differently, because at different times, chances are when she is just like, I got to get in gear, I got to get my business off the ground, she's also not simultaneously thinking, but my mom and my daughter, I really need a photo session. Probably not. But in October, she's probably like, I've had a long year, it's been so hard, I really want to get gifts for my daughter and my mom. She's going to be in a different headspace then. So the marketing messaging at that time, she'd be receptive to it. So I think the kindest thing that you could do for your business is to create two separate strategies. Could Willow be your dream customer in both of them? Sure. But how you speak to Willow to make her into a consumer to invest in your photography experience and legacies versus how you speak to Willow when she's really wanting to start a business and needs a coach to strategize and get her mind off the ground. Okay. Different spots, different places. You could use the same identity, but you have to speak to her very, very different. And the content you create on each of those accounts are going to be satiating a different desire. I think you run a high risk of confusing your audience.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, girl. I feel like it was like a New York fire hydrant. I was like, take a sip. And I was like, bleh. So I think that you coming and asking this question is opening pathways for so many other people who feel, I'm good. I have a good business. I know what I'm doing. And yet we get caught in that messy middle. All I'm asking is let's strip it apart. And then you're going to decide, because whatever I say, it don't matter. It's going to push you either in the direction you've been going, being like, I'm going to make it work. Or wait, let me pause. Let me regroup. And let me focus on branding the way that I think I should be focusing it moving into the next year. I just want to say thank you for being so open and explaining the process so clearly for me.
No, thank you. This was excellent.
Thank you. Have a great shoot.
Hi, Jasmine. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited. So yeah, my name is Christy Yoder, founder and CEO of Smart VAs. Smart VAs is a virtual assistant agency where we help busy and overwhelmed entrepreneurs by providing them a team of virtual assistants to help them scale and to help them scale their business and give them their freedom and life back. I am also the host of the Master Delegator podcast, which focuses on delegation and hiring virtual assistants. So my question is, what is the best way to grow podcast listeners and podcast YouTube channel subscriptions organically through social media?
Goodness, 2.5 years ago, maybe it was three now, it was a podcast. Now, this podcast started off simply as a documentary podcast around somebody starting a podcast. So super meta, a podcast about starting a podcast and how he wanted to start a podcast network. So he wants to start a podcast network. So he's documenting his journey and he's recording who he's speaking to and things of that nature. And they end up calling this podcasting network Gimlet. And it records him trying to get funding from people, and people are saying, we're not going to fund you because growing your podcast is near difficult, near impossible, because it wasn't built with social components in mind. It was built the same model that newspapers and televisions were built. They create, they go. They create, they go, and then they expect people to come to them. Whereas social media platforms, we're expecting for kind of like an economy of people passing and sharing and finding and searching. And so the piece of advice that his name is Alex Bloomberg. And the piece of advice that Alex got was make a network that's easy for people to find and discover and all these things. So that became his big mission. I'm going to create basically the social media platform of podcasting. And that became his thing. And it was so fascinating. I just was obsessed with everything that went down. Then in 2020, Gimlet was acquired by Spotify for like a multi-hundred million dollar deal. It was fascinating. But I say all of that to know that I feel very confident saying that discoverabilities at this point in time for a podcast is hard. Girl, it is hard.
And it's frustrating.
And it is fresh. Of course, it is hard and it is frustrating. And I'm also going to tell you that the Jasmine Star Show has experimented with ads for podcast episodes that, number one, performed very well. Number two, had on a rather popular guest that people are interested in listening to. And number three, had a very clear CTA, a call to action that was them opting into something. Because if you're just paying for an ad for somebody to listen to a podcast, that's great, but you run the risk of them not subscribing or them not leaving a review. So you're actually putting money out without nothing in return. So our objective was, if they don't subscribe and they don't leave a review, if we have a juicy opt-in for them, at least we're paying for the cost of acquisition for a lead. For somebody on our list. Okay. So we have been kind of sort of testing it, and I'll update maybe perhaps a podcast episode on what it looked like for us to run those ads. But it's very common for podcasters now, because the market is so saturated, to run ads. But your question was specifically dealing with organic. So let's just focus on that. Oftentimes, people don't know that any podcast exists. You want to be featured on the homepage of Apple, or you want, you know, Spotify to give you a shout out. The chances of that happening are like the same as getting struck by lightning. So if we know that nothing is going to be handed to us, then our objective would be to find and invite other people on the podcast who people in your field might be searching for. We have noticed that people have discovered this podcast because they were searching for, say, Ed Milet, or they were searching for Amy Porterfield. And so by searching, not only are they finding Ed's podcast, which of course they should, but since Ed was a guest on this podcast, and if somebody's searching for Amy's podcast, of course they'll find Amy's podcast, but then they would also find mine. So we're trying, and then you'll notice that in our titles, we are including, we have a singular guest, we're including their name in the title for searchability within those platforms. So that's one way. Another way would be to ensure that you are creating content that somebody would be searching for on Apple or Spotify or Google or Stitch or any other thing. And so we want to make sure that the titles that we're using in our episodes, when you read it, you immediately know, is this something that I want to listen to? I obviously would love to title our episodes a little bit more clickbaity. Like, that's the shady side of me is just like, oh, a clickbait. Like, let me hook you in. But the minute specifically on podcasts that you get somebody to click over and it's not what you promised, they're never coming back. You lose trust on podcasts real quickly. So I'm in the game of building trust. So what I need to do is spell it out for you. That way I'm saving your time. People get very annoyed if they waste their time. So our titles are the three things to not. Four ways to do this, how to stop listening to haters. It's like, it's explain it like it's five. And then what you want to do is find ways to hear back from your listeners. It's very common for me. And if somebody sends me a DM from the podcast, I'll ask specific questions. What do you want to hear more of? And if you're not getting DMs right now, it's very common. Every single week we have a newsletter. So Christy, do you have a newsletter that goes out?
Yeah.
And how often are you sending that newsletter?
Once a week.
Okay. So it's similar to what I'm doing with my newsletter. And regardless of the topic of that newsletter, the PS of every newsletter is a link to that week's podcast. I'm just driving. And, you know, anything that I could do that I don't have to pay for. Like when we did the podcast review contest, not only did we want reviews, it was a great way for me to have an excuse to talk about my podcast. I created a video, how to leave a review, the world's dumbest video. But guess what? It also served a purpose on some teaching somebody how to leave a review, but also reminded people, like, I can't tell every multiple times a week I talk about my podcast. And then I'm like, I have a podcast review contest. I can't tell you how many DMs I got from people. It's like, you have a podcast? And I'm like, what? So there's a lot of our followers who just have no idea that we have it. So it is okay to talk about it. And obviously, which I'm pretty sure you're probably already doing, is to share when your episodes drop, and then sending like a press kit to whoever was a guest. So for instance, at the end of this podcast, when we release this, you will be getting a press kit. We'll give you a square. We'll give you a video graphic. We'll give you an audio graphic. And it's your prerogative to share or not. But for people who do share the podcast, it's very helpful for us because we're tapping into different markets. So I would suggest you bringing on guests to talk about automations or different things, or interview your VAs, or interview a business owner who was really skeptical about hiring a VA. And if they have a large social platform, invite them on, talk to them about what their business does, and then give them the collateral to hopefully them giving you a shout out. Those are just like a few ideas of the things that we're doing. It's not a hard and concrete answer. It's just a lot harder to get discovered for a podcast than it is to get discovered on social media.
Yeah. And a lot of patience.
A lot.
Which
a lot.
I don't have.
Well, I actually would challenge that belief, because you wouldn't be on this podcast asking this question if you weren't patient.
Yeah.
And one thing that, Christy, I just want to say thank you for opening yourself up to this, because it gives me an opportunity to remind first myself, and then also remind you and remind tens of thousands of listeners, that we make up timelines. We pull timelines from thin air, and then we believe it because we will it to be true. We say, once I do 100 podcast episodes, or once I've been doing this 3 years, or once I have this person, or once I get highlighted on Apple homepage, once that, then this. And it happens in a certain amount of time. Where did we get that time? We say that if I do it this long enough, it will then happen the way that we expect. And we're literally telling ourselves an imaginary story, holding it as truth, and then beating ourselves up if it doesn't turn out the way we imagined it. As an adult, Christy, I don't think that you are really mad at yourself for believing in the tooth fairy. Like, you realized that was a silly thing to believe in. And so now, as we mature in our businesses, maybe look back at things and our timelines and laugh similarly. That was really funny that I thought we would do this. I'm going to be real honest right now. Oh, man. This is the story that I told myself. I can't believe I'm saying this. I hate saying this, but it's recorded. So I'm going to look back and laugh. I said that Social Curator was going to have 10,000 users in a year and a half. I made that up. I looked at what we did when we launched Social Curator. I looked at subsequent launches thereafter, how many people are coming in, and we didn't hit the 10K. And then I said, oh, 2 years. Well, 2.5 years, three and a half. So I'm telling you that I do this. I succumb to the same thing. Succumbing to the same thing of saying this number by this date then means that. But because I didn't hit that, and because you're not getting the organic traffic that you would like, we have to believe and know and trust that our timeline means nothing, but our work ethic will yield results when the time is right.
I agree. That's so good.
Christy, I thank you so much. How can people, well, first, instead of doing a social media shout out, let's give a shout out to your podcast.
Yes, please.
Shout out the podcast, and then shout out where we can find you on social.
Yeah, my podcast is Master Delegator Podcast. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, and all other podcast platforms. And my Instagram handle, my personal Instagram, is Christy Abby. So that is K-R-I-S-T-Y, Abby, A-B-B-Y, Yoder, Y-O-D-E-R. And my podcast Instagram handle is Master Delegator. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
I appreciate you. Thank you, doll. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this raw and real coaching session, and I hope that you're inspired to take action in your business today, whatever that looks like for you. As always, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Jasmine Star Show. And if you haven't, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Okay, I can go on. Basically, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if you can subscribe, I'll send you a cyber hug. I can't wait to chat with you again soon.